fans of Adam Bomb are excited for the upcoming Adam Bomb figure by Chella Toys, and why shouldn't they be? This thing looks amazing. The more I see of it, the more I like it, and that's why I'm going to give one lucky winner the incredible figure absolutely free. You heard me right, I said free. All you have to do is email me at achairshot@gmail.com with a screenshot that you're following Brian on Twitter. He's at Real Brian Clark. That's RealBryanClark. Do that and you're all set with your shot to win this awesome figure once it's released. Absolutely free. Do it now.
Symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Oh, it's live, pal.
Before the days of 10 super kicks and 5 dives to the outside of the ring in every match, there were big bad bruisers that put the fear of God in those at ringside. Their style in the ring told a story and suspended our disbelief. My guest this week was no exception to that. Today, he's busy creating figures we want, art we need, and gear we wear. He's got the look of a dangerous heel, but the heart of an ultimate face. Kids, Brian Clark, aka Adam Bomb, is here.
Brian, how are you today?
I'm good, brother. I really appreciate you getting me in on a short notice. And again, glad to be here.
The pleasure is definitely mine, and I appreciate you coming on here with me. And I think we got a lot of good stuff to talk about that everyone's going to enjoy here. I kind of wanted to start back at the beginning and find out, where were you born and raised?
I am from the state capital, Florida. So here goes your history test. And it is, that's your Jeopardy question. What is the state capital?
Oh, I got you. Right over my head. Yeah. Did I mention I'm a wrestling fan? State capital. Gosh, I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
State capital for 500, Alex. No, it's all good. I'm up in the panhandle. I'm from the state capital of Tallahassee. But actually, I lived really in between there and the Gulf Coast. I was from the Gulf of Mexico. So I was about 20 minutes from the Gulf.
Okay.
Yep.
And did you grow up there as a wrestling fan, or what? When did you get into wrestling? How did you discover it?
Absolutely, yes. As probably a 7 or 8 year old, my grandmother went to wrestling. She had ringside seats. My family had the general seating. But as a little kid, I would sneak down and stand beside my grandmother and get the ringside goodies. And I got to see some of the greatest of the great. I got to see Andre the Giant. I got to see Dusty Rhodes, Buddy Colt, Terry Funk. The list goes on and on, man. Just unbelievable people that made such an impression on me.
That's awesome. Were you down there the majority of your childhood, or was there a historical venue that you got to see shows at?
No, Tallahassee's not a real big, it's a little bit of a, it's not a big town, maybe 100,000. The biggest thing there is Florida State University. That's the big thing where Ron Simmons is from, or played ball there. And a lot of other collegiate players. But yeah, we have what's called a sportatorium, not a real big arena. Maybe hold 800 to 1,000, but it was packed always. They would come to town every few months, and when they did, we were always there. So yeah, that's where I got my first taste, my introduction to it. And also, of course, I would watch Florida Championship Wrestling. I would get a little bit of Georgia Championship Wrestling also. So I get a little blend, you know.
That's great. I grew up pretty much some world class AWA, World Championship Wrestling later, or NWA, and then, of course, WWF. But I never got a chance to experience the Florida stuff that everybody talks about. I feel like I missed out on that.
Well, there's always YouTube, brother.
Yeah. When did you first, or how did you break into wrestling, I should say, when that time finally came about? I know you played football and you were in the military, but how did you actually get to the point where, okay, hey, I'm going in this direction, I'm going to be a professional wrestler?
Well, again, as a very young child, I probably got the bug there. But then I was, from high school, I went straight to the military. My entire family's military. Both of my nephews are special forces. My father was a Marine Corps infantryman. My stepfather was a tank battalion chief. My great uncle was a World War II pilot. My uncle was a chief master sergeant. My other uncle was Army. It just goes on and on with my family. So after I joined the military, when I finished up my military commitment, I walked on at Central Missouri State. And I never played high school football. I just walked on as a freshman.
Wow.
And I started. I got a starting position right next to Jeff Wright, who was the Buffalo Bills nose tackle and played in all four Super Bowls.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't play games, brother. I was 6'6", 290. I ran a 4.79. I was the strongest player on the team. But remember, I was in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force powerlifting team. And that all built me. My stepfather instilled a weight training program into my life as a very young man. And so from there, I moved on to college football. From college football, while I was in college football, I actually was doing some AWA stuff, which is unheard of because I hadn't even been trained. But I had met Ox Baker, who lived in a town close by to me at Central Missouri State, where I played. And he introduced me to pro wrestling. Didn't really show me a lot. I love Ox to death, but he did not train me at all. And so I was just sort of thrown out there. And that happened a couple of times. I sort of fell on my face. And then I realized, hey, as soon as I graduate, I'm packing up everything I own in a U-Haul. And I am moving to Atlanta to be trained by Jody Hamilton and Dwayne Bruce. And so those are the gentlemen who trained me. And prepared me to go out and work independents, smaller promotions. And there I met Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff on one of those independent shows. And he put me over to a guy named Jim Cornette in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And there I got my first break with Jim Cornette. With my manager, Kevin Sullivan. So we had a bloodbath every night.
And do you want to explain what a bloodbath is?
Anything from getting their head busted open the easy way or the hard way. Kevin taking a spike and putting it into Wing Kanemura's tricep and ripping it down to the bone. And seeing so much meat and so much blood that I'm surprised he lived. But yeah, that's just examples.
The hardest core of the hardcore, I guess, if that's
that was before, you know, the gangsters and all these other hardcore people came along. Kevin was like that back in the 70s, so he just brought it right to me in the early 90s, and I was lucky enough to be his manager and his henchman. And so I protected Kevin at all costs.
And from there, did that tie into the WWF, or where did you go from there?
Yes, it did. I was still training at the gym on their schedule. I was also going back and forth from Atlanta to the Carolinas, Kentucky, West Virginia, all over that area. Wherever they booked shows, I went. And but I also had a job back in Atlanta, so I would work my job there. And I had a boss that was kind enough to let me go and pursue my wrestling career. But then I got a call. Cornette got a call from Sergeant Slaughter. Slaughter said that, hey, we want to take a look at the Night Stalker. Can we bring him up for two tryouts? And that was in the Carolinas. I tried out. I tried out for two nights, and I was hired the very first night.
Wow. And that wasn't under the Night Stalker character, though, was it?
No, I tried out under as the Night Stalker both nights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I worked both nights, even though I'd won the job the first night, but I worked both nights. Then they send me home and they say, okay, go home, finish up a few commitments you have, go home, and we will we'll send you something. We will send you some characters, something that you may or may not can work with. And so I waited for about 3 months, and I finally got some stuff.
And you came up with Adam Baum at that point?
I had a choice. And I've defended this before, and I don't even know why I'm defending it now. They sent me two choices. Adam Baum or the Ringmaster. Those were the two, which the Ringmaster was later offered to Steve Austin, of course. And they offered the ring. See, back those days, people don't understand. Back in those days, they trademarked everything. So what I looked at both of them and I said, you know what? I can't see me doing Ringmaster. I can't much with that. But with Adam Baum, I could do a lot with. And I added a lot to it. The goggle or the contact lens, the red tongue, all the high flying moves and stuff. I added all that to it. So I felt I could do much more with Adam Baum.
I remember the first time I saw you come out as Adam Baum with the music. And I always try to explain to people what I feel is missing from wrestling today is the element of, I think you encompassed that very well. When you walked out the curtain, you just saw this man that you felt like could just end your life by snapping his fingers. And I thought you did that tremendously as Adam Baum. I mean, the music was kind of eerie and just the whole thing was like larger than life, you know?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. My mindset was very much what you said. I was win at all costs. I would take your head off in a second. And that was just my, and that's been my mindset pretty much since I joined the military, is that the military taught me so much to overcome all the obstacles in life that get in your way. You just run right through them. Same thing with college football. Me walking on as a freshman, never played high school football. All those things tied into me being very stiff, very vicious, very aggressive in the ring. Never stiff to hurt anyone, but stiff to know that when I chopped you or put a boot to you, you're going to know it. I was not a feather in the ring. I was snug, but then again, so was Ming and Barbarian and the guys that I love working with, Scott Norton, all those guys. That's pro wrestling. This stuff about, give you a DDT and you nip back up and you give somebody a close. Come on, man. You know?
You feel like that element of it is maybe that era was the end of that mind state of how you guys approached it? Or is there still elements of that going on today in the business?
Well, look, man, everything evolves, and I understand that. I'm not trying to be so old school that I don't understand. I don't know that things evolve. But like, for example, my partner, Brian Crush Adams, he would take and press slam Undertaker over his head, 320 pounds. He would press Ming or Barbarian over his head and slam them. Those guys sold that. They didn't just nip up or jump up and go, that just didn't happen. Well, you're 10 feet in the air and you just got slammed by a 320 pound guy. And you're going to tell me that you're just going to stand up from that? Back then, if you just stood up from that, you'd get clotheslined out of your boots. Just saying, you know?
Yeah.
Real quick, while I'm thinking about this, I got some really good fans that have been nothing but great to me. I want to plug two people here. Pro Wrestling Defined, which is Jonathan O'Dwyer out of Limerick, Ireland. He is a new podcast guy who is doing phenomenal work. He's gotten so much top talent. I just want to plug that real quick. And then all my boys at PWEF. Just want to share that, and then we'll keep rolling.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Thank you.
Transitioning, I guess, from the ring and the attire, and how involved were you in coming up with the actual design on the tights for Adam Baum? And was that created by you, or did you have somebody that did that?
Yeah, I'll give you the whole story here. Tom Fleming, who now works for Marvel Comics, who we are now working together. We have reconnected after 20-something years. If you go to my eBay store, which is Adam Baum Chronic, you will see I've got posters. I've got 8x10s of the new artwork. And it's not the typical artwork. It is a hand-painted drawing that he took months to work on. And it's Adam Baum Nuclear Warning. He's a master. He, like I said, he works for Marvel. He did Razor Ramon, 1-2-3 Kid, all the top names you can think of, he drew and he did pay-per-view posters for Vince. He worked for Vince in 93 up until, I don't know, 97, 8, and then went off to Marvel. So he's phenomenal. I'm so glad I got to reconnect with him. We are, like I said, we've worked on one project. We'll be working on another. And you just got to see it, man. I'll actually, when we hang up, when we disconnect here, I will send you some of his work and let you see it. And then you can share it to whoever you want. But again, those are available at Adam Bomb Dash Chronic on eBay. They're also available on Pro Wrestling Tees. I sound like a commercial here. ProWrestlingTees.com under my name, Adam Bomb Chronic. And then also WrestleMerch Central UK under the same name. So we've got everything covered. And here's the plus. During COVID, I spent 2 years basically in my mad scientist laboratory here in my office, basically. I designed every single piece you see. And I've got like 20 or 30 pieces out, if not more. Trust me. This didn't happen overnight, as they say. I've been working on this for years. So all the merchandise, all the designs, the logos, the way the things set up, the way that things are put together, I sent that to my design person, and then he put in the colors and then the schemes and the fonts and all that kind of stuff I wanted. And then Tom, who is the Marvel Comics gentleman, who's my buddy, he just said, I told him what I wanted, and he came up with it. And it's got, if you look at it, it's almost like an Iwo Jima where the Marines are holding up the flag on Iwo Jima. But it's also nuclear warning, but with me holding the flag, and it's a nuclear flag. So, I don't know. I hope I answered your question there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I always thought your colors and the scheme of your attire and stuff was so – well, the colors just popped, you know.
Hey, if you think those colors popped, look – wait till you see what I send you. Tom Fleming's colors jump off the page.
All right. Yep. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
Do you have much recollection or, I mean, I don't know much about how the figures come about for you guys as professional wrestlers, but going back to the original Hasbro figures that came out, your green card Adam Bomb figure, actually to this day, that's the only one, I'm a big collector, obviously, but that's the only green card figure I have is yours.
That's the best one I have.
That's what
and,
I think.
Hey, and you let me sign it for you and you'll be set.
Oh, that would be amazing, man. Yeah, I would really appreciate that, of course. Sure. I just wondered, what was the process like? I don't even know if you can talk about it or how much there is to it, but does WWF at that time just come to you and say, we're making a figure, here's the deal? Do they work out a deal with you? Do you have any input on it, or, you know, what's the process like?
I did not have a whole lot of input on it, unfortunately. That was when Vince was going through a steroid trial, and he was robbing us blind, but yet working us 290 days out of the year, plus personal appearances, plus autograph signing. So he's basically killing us in a meat grinder, and that's putting it nicely, and I'll just leave it at that. But with this new Chella at Chella toys.net, these guys have let me be hands-on from the colors, the designs, the goggles. This one's even better than the old one. This one, the goggles come off. He's going to have the black gloves, which the first one did not have that should have had. And then we're working on a first time ever 3-time world tag team champion, Chronic, breaking necks and cashing checks. Wow. Brother. Never been done before.
That's going to be huge.
And I'm not done.
Okay.
And a larger Mattel size Adam Bomb version 2. And Wrath.
There's going to be a Wrath in there as well. So you're doing the trifecta.
Actually, maybe even one more because there were two versions of Wrath. So we shall see.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Well, there's going to be a lot of happy fans out there, I know, because those Hasbro aftermarket prices have gone up to, you know.
Yeah. These
a pretty penny.
Chella is very affordable. They're cheaper than some guy, Sailor something, whatever his, I don't know what.
Zombie Sailor.
Yeah. They look better than those. Those are sort of dull. These are shiny. They pop. The colors pop. As a matter of fact, this singlet that I'm wearing and this new one is from Survivor Series 93 at the Boston Gardens. Survivor Series.
Okay.
Yep. So it's a different color. It's the lime green outfit, which is different from the original Hasbro. So it's even better because, like I said, the goggles come off. It has the gloves. Chella has been amazing.
I'll have to reach out to him. I know I've ordered from him already. I'm looking forward to getting yours as well, obviously.
Well, there will be more to come, brother. I'm telling you. We have a great working relationship. We talk all the time. We're working on concepts, ideas. I'm making it as 100% close to the original as all. It'll have the tattoo on the arm. It'll have the gloves, the goggles. Something that the original just was sort of thrown together. And like I said, Chella is the place to be.
Sounds like there's a ton more details in there, and removable goggles by itself is going to be.
And even, and here's another thing. When you take the goggles off, the eyes glow. How about that?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be amazing.
Yes.
When are those going to be available?
We're doing the prototypes now. We're doing the prototypes now. But I would feel like it's probably within a few months, if not before. I think the demand is going to be great. They may just do 1,000 at first, but from what I'm hearing off of all my 5,000 on Facebook and then my growing number on Twitter, which is at Real Brian Clark, please feel welcome to join. I really hope you guys all join to hear this. I'd love to have you on and your input. But I just, the feeling I'm getting is just 100% positive. I heard one negative thing yet, which is great.
What's to be negative about it? Ever since I heard the initial announcement, I know I'm not the only one that's clamoring for that. So what about going back to after the Hasbro thing, which we covered, there was supposed to be a Just Toys Bendem figure that was supposed to come out, but I guess never made it out.
You know what? I did hear something about that. As a matter of fact, there was a guy who messaged me, and I cannot remember his name right now, so forgive me if he's listening. He sent me, and I told him, I said, you know what? And just for those who do not know, I own and have purchased since 2001 the Wrath, Atom Bomb, and Chronic trademark. So those are mine. So if anybody gets the idea of going to making their own, well, they're going to hear from me. But I hope that it doesn't happen and they're professional about it. My point being is that I went the extra mile to produce and protect my own images. They were hard to get. I got them. I paid for them. And through my lawyers, I have all the paperwork to document and prove everything. The Bendem, there was a guy, like I said, he sent me a message and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing some Bendem. I said, Bendems. And I was like, well, that's great. That's nice. I said, but by the way, you know, I own the trademarks. And then so he turned it around and said, oh, yeah, well, sure. I'd send you a contract. I'd send you a percentage of them, you know, on and on and on. And so I'm not saying no to him if fans really want them. I'm not going to be a jerk about it and go, oh, no, we're not Bendem. I'm open to open merchandise, and if the fans want them, man, I'm all about it. The fans, I've said it before and I'll say it again, the wrestling fans are the absolute best fans in the world, better than NBA, NFL, basketball, baseball, I don't care. Pro wrestling fans are the best. They get crapped on, they put up with all kind of hell, but they're the fans are the ones who stick by our side, and I love them. Even though I'm a heel at times, I've always been a face at heart, and I will never turn you down for an autograph or anything like that. Just because I'm a fan, and every wrestler who says they're not a fan, they're a liar. You're a fan because you get into this business. I'm a fan. You're a fan for doing this show. We're all fans.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan and have been for decades now. The more people like you, the better off the experience is for everybody.
Good, good.
Kind of fast forwarding into your stint with WCW, there was the Toy Biz figure that came out for Wrath. And then there was supposed to be a set of Chronic figures made as well that didn't, I guess, get through production back then. Was your involvement any better experience with them or similar to the WWF? It was just kind of done and you're told what's going on? Or
well, all I can tell you is that I got sent some photos and images and stuff, and me and Brian were happy about it. But again, I had trademarked Chronic. At the time, Brian really did not want to do it. I asked him numerous times, hey, let's trademark this. And he was just like, he didn't think much about it. But I was sort of thinking ahead, thinking, you know, I paid for all the lawyers and I did everything and I trademarked it. The thing is that Time Warner merged. They had a Time Warner merger. And so that sort of shut down everything and we went out of business. And so the Chronic figures were never made. Well, now Chella is going to make the figures that were never made with the three-time champions, like I've said before earlier in this interview, that finally we get Chronic. Get what I'm pitching for, and I'm telling you, Chella is a finally the people get what they want. They asked for it, and they got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Are those going to be in scale then, like the same size as the Atom Bomb figure?
You know what? We're still working on that. I don't know. They may be bigger, which they should be. And then, of course, that Mattel size second version 2 Atom Bomb will be bigger. And then hopefully the Wrath versions 1 and 2 will be bigger. We're taking a step at a time. Giving the people what they want and then move on to the next line and say, okay, here we go, you know?
Yeah, that'll be exciting to get. And speaking of Brian, obviously you teamed up with him. Do you have any cool stories that people might want to hear about your time with him teaming up, whether it be in the ring or on the road or anything?
Me and Brian were both military veterans. We were both 6'6 plus, both 290, 300 pounds, both super strong. Brian was one of the strongest guys I've ever seen. We were inseparable. We ate together, trained together, stayed at the same motel, traveled in the same car together, up and down the roads. Best partner I've ever had in my life, one of my best friends. And in pro wrestling, you have a very few handful of people you can call your friends, and Brian was my best. Loved him to death. He could be on one side of the locker room and I could be on the other side. And if someone's on the one side of the locker room talking shit and I'm on the other side listening, we would meet in the middle at night and say, okay, who said what? Because we did not play around. Were we stiff and snug? Yes, we were. If someone deserved to get a beat down, so be it. That's the old school way, but Brian was trained in dojos in Japan. I was trained in the military and then in the military powerlifting, collegiate powerlifting, college football, all that stuff I've told you about. Brian was a great person, a great human being, and one of the funniest guys you could ever meet. I mean, he could have the locker room in the floor rolling, laughing. I had to make him either A, stop talking, or either B, pull the car over because I'm laughing so much I cannot breathe. That's how funny he was.
That's pretty cool to hear because, like you mentioned, your guy's size and stature, I don't think the first quality you would think of is here's a funny guy, you know?
Yeah, you wouldn't know it, but there was no joking in the ring. It was all business. He knew just like I did. As soon as that music hit and we did the double knock fist in the air, the ass kicking was on.
That was a menacing tag team for sure. And like I said about Atom Bomb, I mean, the same thing. When I saw you guys come out, it was, here's two guys that wouldn't need to put much effort to end somebody's life.
Yeah.
So I don't see that in today's product. I see talented guys, but I don't see guys that kind of that element of fear, or I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but that's. Well,
I watch AEW because I'm friends with Justin Roberts and a few other guys that are out here in Phoenix, Arizona, where I'm at. So I keep in touch with a few of those guys. And also Lance Archer. I've shared some of my knowledge with him, and I think he's great. I think he's one of the very few last big men that can do everything. He's super talented. Nothing but great things from him, and I hope he gets what he deserves.
He's had a long road, and it's great to see him back in the spotlight there.
Yes.
What was your time like in WCW versus the WWF? Was there a big difference between working from one organization to the other?
Major difference. I loved, and I may be the opposite of everybody else. I loved working in World Championship Wrestling. I had an open door policy with Eric Bischoff. If I had a question with Eric, where I was going, what I was doing, I could talk to Eric. If I had a problem with Vince, I had to go through 10 guys, 10 agents, 10 stooges to get to Vince to ask one dumbass question. I had to go in there and beg for shoulder surgery because I couldn't even raise my arm up. Then he says, "Oh yeah, you can have shoulder surgery, but guess what? You're going to pay for it." That kind of crap. Whereas Ted Turner, and of course, when we were there with Vince, he was on a steroid trial, and we were working around the country, around the world, in every hole you could think of, making nothing. I would get home and the checks were such a joke. That's one of the reasons I left. Because I knew I had an offer with Eric. I lived in Atlanta. I had an offer from Eric, and I could work and make five times the amount of money I was making and not work 300 days out of the year. It cost me a divorce. It cost me a lot of numerous things to being away from home that long. And we were doing it naturally. We're not on drugs. We were Olympic drug tested during those times. They would watch you urinate into a cup. That's how stringent the testing was because Vince was under his steroid trial. We were clean as clean can be.
And that kind of extends to my next question, which was onto the later years, I guess, after the WCW had dissolved, is the WWE Jax Atom Bomb figure with Jeremy Padour and those guys. I would imagine that would have been a more inclusive experience for you compared to the previous figures. How was that experience?
It was okay. They paid me a figure up front, and then I never got any residuals afterwards. Whereas now that I've trademarked and own the stuff that I own, that won't happen to me again. Gotcha. With Cello, we have a very good mutual understanding of where we're at, what we're doing, what's fair. That's why I'm so happy to work with those guys. I didn't want to work with anybody in the States because they were giving me the runaround. But with Cello, it's all up front. We are very ecstatic of the response we got just from the prototype. I feel like we're going to sell out 1,000 or 2,000 units right away. And then we're going to go from there. But again, night and day working from Vince to Eric, and Eric the much more positive way.
Did you also work with Russo when Bischoff was out then, or?
Absolutely. Yes. I just did Vince Russo's podcast about 2 weeks ago. If you get a chance, check it out. It tells my whole story, A to Z. Vince and I go way back. Vince did the very first article on me in the WWF magazine. So, yeah, please check that Vince Russo podcast out. We had a great time. You'll love it.
I enjoy Russo myself. I hear a lot of people that don't, and where do you think the negativity for him stems from?
You know what? They can say what they want to. Vince put the World Tag Team titles on us twice. Then we won them for a third time in All Japan, which was the icing on the cake for us, which I'll tell you about. But Vince inherited a lot of crap. He inherited Nash and Hall and Hogan. you know, not doing a job contract, not putting this person over, not doing this, creative control, all that stuff. So he did inherit things that should have been a clean slate.
I gotcha. Yeah, I've been a fan. I mean, I collected those WWF magazines back in the day as a kid, and I still have the full set of them, especially the earlier ones. I just love the artwork and the way the larger-than-life personalities popped off the page and then all the stories inside. So when you left after that stint with WCW ended and you went to WWF, you were there for a while and then left. I guess, would that be your second departure?
Yes. And again, if you, and I'm not keep referring back to Russo, but if you listen to that Russo, and I'll tell you too, but if you watch the Russo interview, it will tell you exactly step by step about what happened. Yeah, they called us back up. I told Brian Adams, my partner, I said, we should go to Japan right now, not wait for this contract or wait for somebody else. And he goes, well, you know, I'm friends with Taker. Taker can get us in, blah, blah, blah. So we did it. You know, like I said, I love Brian like a brother, and so we went. And of course, it fell apart. Kane had a massive staph infection the size of a softball on his arm. Taker had a blown out shoulder. I had just had basically a broken neck, and Brian had back issues. But they wanted to hot shot the angle. They wanted to rush it and say, okay. You know, instead of giving us a couple of weeks on the road to get used to things and work out some of these issues, instead they go, no, we're going to give you two squash matches and then you're going to a pay-per-view. Well, it fell apart. And so, you know, that's just what happened. And then they want to get rid of us, which they want to get rid of everybody. They were afraid WCW guys were going to take their jobs, and that's basically the bottom line. Although, like I said, we could have done so much more with that if they would have taken my advice and said, let us go on the road for 2 weeks, work for 2 weeks, get used to everything, acclimated to everything, and then do the pay-per-view. Why rush it? What the hell's a rush? You know?
Right. We're running a marathon here, not sprinting, right?
Exactly.
So fast forwarding to more recent times, obviously, we've talked about Chela, but how did that relationship come about? What can you tell us about your relationship with Chela, its formation? And
yeah, well, I did some research, and I, like I said, I had purchased my trademarks, and I knew that I owned them, and there's certain things I could do. And there were a couple of companies in the U.S. that just did not meet my needs and were not willing to do what I wanted to do. With the action figure, and Chela was more than willing to do the action figure like I wanted. Let me have input on it. Let me have input on the case that it goes in, the picture that's on the back, the gloves, the goggles. They let me have hands on a lot of it, and also going forward with the other figures. So that was it for me. I just didn't, like I said, I've had, I don't know if I told you, I've got a Legends contract that's been sitting there for 3 years and it'll sit here for another 30. I don't like to be, boxed in. You know what I mean? I want to be able to have some control and some, be able to, offer my input. I was offered a Legends contract and I refused to be owned again.
Gotcha. The Chela figure that you mentioned be coming out in a few months, and I know I'm excited as most people are.
Yeah, if not earlier, depending on how fast things are rolling, and things are rolling pretty fast right now. So the day that they're getting ready, the day that they're taking pre-orders, I will post it on all my social media. I'll send it to you, and you can share it, and we can go from there.
That sounds good, man. As you wrapped up your wrestling career, as you mentioned, and as I know you were in the military, you played football, and you had a long wrestling career. As that wound down, and as I'm sure there was lots of wear and tear and issues on your body, what can you tell us about that transition out of the ring into, I don't want to say normal life, but, you know, into everyday life maybe is a better way to say that.
Oh yeah, I left the business very injured. Basically, I've had 13 surgeries, from knee replacements to metal in my back, my neck surgery, metal there, elbow, shoulder, four knee surgeries, four concussions. It just goes on and on. But you know what? I'm a guy that comes up swinging every morning. I refuse to give up. At 5 a.m., I'm in the hot tub. 7 a.m., I'm in the gym. I just don't miss workouts, and I get things done. I will not make excuses. I had a situation about 2 years ago, maybe a little less than 2 years ago, where I had got some negative publicity in regards to opiates. I had a friend of a friend who had an issue. And so he sort of turned on his friend, and my name was thrown into the hat. And so they wanted to investigate me, which was fine. I let them do what they wanted to do. But then they come up with these charges against me, which were absolutely, as my lawyer would say, they were ludicrous. They were false. They have been proven to be false, and they're being dropped, if not all dropped by now, because COVID has slowed things down, as you know. It was a wake-up call for me for the fact that I knew that I had developed after all those surgeries, I had developed into an opiate dependency. And so my wife is a director of nursing, which is a blessing, and she watched over me. But what I did was when that publicity came out, it made me so angry that I quit cold turkey. And I mean, the next day, that was it. It was not easy. It was very difficult. Probably one of the toughest things I've been through, including military combat training, the college football, the powerlifting, the wrestling. All of it. It was very difficult. I was sick for 2 or 3 weeks. Anyone who has been through the situation knows what I'm talking about. But I was able to get through it. Honestly, it just has to be my military mindset of overcoming any and everything that gets in my path. So I was able to overcome it and beat it. Day 7, day 14, 21, they got better. Next thing you know, I'm at 2+ years, never looking back, will never do another one. And people say never, real simple. I look back at day 7 and see how sick I was, and there goes my never again. It's so far in my rearview mirror. I don't have a craving. I don't think about it. I'm all focused about what I'm doing now, appearances, merchandise, business. Like I said, it's all rearview mirror for me.
That's an incredible story to share, and I appreciate you sharing that openly and candidly with us. Yeah. Is there any advice or direction you can give anybody that sure. out there that might?
Absolutely. First and foremost, you have to want to do it. Secondly, is that do not let a pill control your life. You do not need a pill. I thought, because I had those surgeries, the doctors kept prescribing them to me, so I thought I had to take them every 4 hours, every 8 hours. And then when you do not take the pill, then you start feeling sick, and you go, oh, it's time to take another one. Well, sooner or later, you're going to have to get off of that crap. And I did. It's sort of built into the system with the medical community that they prescribe them if you got a toothache. Well, since then, I'll give you an example. Since 2 years ago, I've had 3 surgeries, and I said, do not give me an opiate. And I took all 3 surgeries, no pain pills, and sucked it up and moved on. So you can do it. Don't let anybody tell you you cannot do it. And one of those surgeries included torn abdominal muscle, which I had sewn back together. No pain pills. I don't care. I will never do them again. My point being is that you don't need them. You can move on without them. And it's just a mindset. Focus, stay laser focused, put it down, quit it. That's it. Put it behind you. And it is greener on the other side.
the success you're having right now is 100% proof of that.
Yeah, I would have never been able to create and design and come up with all the stuff that I have created under the influence of an opiate. No way. Now it is crystal clear, laser focused, and I'm doing it. And like I said, I'm never looking back.
That's awesome, Brian. I'm grateful for you sharing that. I know there's people that are all walks of life, and some people have issues, and I'm sure that's encouraging to hear.
Yeah, I like I said, there are other ways to do it. I'm not on a soapbox preaching to people saying, hey, you got to quit cold turkey. I know some people cannot do that, but there are groups, there are people that can talk to you and help you with it. And meetings and stuff that you can go to. But me, my mindset, my background, my history, I just said, no way is a pill going to control me. And that's it. And I shut it down. And other people, there are probably other plenty of people that can do the same thing. But for those who cannot, please reach out to someone and get some help, because you don't need it. I don't want you to think that you have to have it.
Yeah, that's sound advice. I'm grateful for your time. I know we've gone pretty long here, and I don't want to take up your whole afternoon. I know you got places to be and things to do. Do you have any cool stories? I mean, towards the end of WCW with the NWO, or, you know, is there any in-ring or behind-the-scenes ribs, as you guys call them, or any cool stories you could share with everybody as we start to wrap things up here?
Oh, man, there's so many. Something happened every day, it seemed like. I do remember one funny story where Scott Steiner went out. This was towards the end. Scott Steiner and DDP were in a promo. And Scotty did something and said something about his wife. And Paige was waiting for him, and he came through the door. And then they got in a big fight, of course. You know, Scotty Steiner will not be beat no matter what.
Right.
Yeah. You're messing with a freight train right there, brother. But just stuff like that, man. There's so many different stories of guys and crazy shit that has happened on the road. I've even been approached about doing a podcast myself just to tell some of the crap that I've witnessed. But that's down the road. But yeah, there's a ton of stuff, man. We'd be on here for hours telling some of the stuff that even between Owen and Davey and my partner Brian, just hilarious stuff. So yeah,
probably you got plenty for a book, I would imagine, as well.
Yeah, that's something I've started, stopped. I've got a few hundred pages, but I got so much other stuff going on. I have not had time. Every day I'm working on. I've got another interview here at 5:30. But yeah, it's just a full schedule.
Brian, you mentioned some of the stuff, but if you want to put it in kind of more, we can do a little more of a concise compiling here. The floor is yours to plug away your Twitter, your social media, your pro wrestling tees, all the stuff you got going on, share away.
Sure. Okay. If you go to my eBay store, it is lowercase AdamBomb-Chronic. I have all my new designs on there. I also have some one-of-a-kind stuff, ring-worn gear. So all new 2021 photos that have never been seen before. So it's eBay, AdamBomb-Chronic. The next place I would tell you to go would be pwts.com. They have all my new designs. I think we've got 15 different shirts now under my name. And then we also have WrestleMerch Central UK/Europe, which is I have my own store there, and it's massive. It has beanies, hats, jackets, shirts, long sleeve, short sleeve, colors, the works. And then, of course, Chella Toys, who is the newest sponsor of the Adam Bomb action figures /Wrath/Chronic and so on. So yeah, all those places will have everything you need.
And I understand you're doing a signing coming up as well.
Yeah, I'm in New York City this Saturday. I'll actually be on Facebook Live for about 4 hours. And I will have the Atom Bomb / Tom Fleming 8x10 Marvel Comics photo there available. And then also I'll have another 8x10 that is brand new that features the new Chella action figure. So there's two things that I will have there. Plus Nick Christie will have a ton of stuff. I think he's got 15 different photos for you to choose from. So you have a large selection of everything.
Sounds awesome, Brian. I really want to thank you for coming on my podcast. It means a lot to me. I know you're super busy, and it means a lot to me that you took the time to talk to me. I definitely want to thank you for all the time in the ring, all the memories, and just watching you wrestle over the years has been a pleasure. And definitely coming from a military family, that means a lot to me as well. My grandfather and uncle were military guys, and so I definitely appreciate that. And maybe most of all, I appreciate what you're doing now with the addiction stuff and just getting that out and getting awareness out there and helping people. You're a stand-up guy, man, and I really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, listen, man, brother, I appreciate you having me on. Let me spread the news of what's going on, and if there's a way I can help someone, I will. I've always been fan-friendly, whether I was a heel or a face. That's just my character. It's just me. And so, please feel free to join my Twitter. It's @RealBrianClark Twitter. I'd love to have you on there. It's growing each day. And again, please feel free to drop me a line, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and I can vouch for you being inclusive with the fans. I'm on your Twitter, and I guess people would say they popped when you followed me back, but I got a big smile on my face that day. So I appreciate it, Brian. I hope you have safe travels out there, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again in the future.
Yeah, make sure you check, if you get a chance, check out the Saturday night showing. It's going to be live on Facebook. So yeah, check it out.
I'll be checking it out. Thanks again, Brian. Take care of yourself.
You got it, buddy. Thank you so much.
You bet.
before I get out of here this week, I have to give a thank you and some shout outs. First off, a huge thank you and a big shout out to Brian Clark. It was my high honor to have him on my podcast, and Brian is doing good things for wrestling fans and helping people with addiction, and that means a lot to me personally. Thank you, Brian, so much. Shout out. Shout out to Dylan and Rob with the Wrestling Figure Database. They have basically every wrestling figure ever chronicled on their website. I highly recommend you visit their website and check them out. Shout out Dylan and Rob. Shout out to my pal the Fig Hunter, aka Mike, and the entire Collectors Helping Collectors community. I say it every week, but I want to thank you guys for taking care of the community of collectors and beating those scalpers to the pegs, city by city across the nation. Shout out Collectors Helping Collectors. Shout out Drew Venzel and his wife Caitlin Venzel and their podcast, Tales from the Estate. Great podcast, but an even better guy and his wife that put this podcast out each and every week. If you haven't checked out the podcast yet, please go there and check it out wherever you get your podcasts. This show's no whammy, trust me. Shout out Drew and Caitlin, Tales from the Estate. Shout out Scott and Jeff with Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. These two real-life brothers are the longest-running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. If you haven't checked them out, check them out. Shout out Scott and Jeff. Be sure to check out Scott's other podcast, Drunk Wrestling History. They aren't always accurate, but they are always drunk. And Scott's pretty entertaining. So is Eddie and Adam. Shout out, guys. Also, shout out to Breaker and Bane's Power Hour, and also Breaker's other podcast. You know it's fake, right? Breaker and Bane are two great guys, and support them if you can. Shout out Breaker and Bane. Thank you to everyone that listens to this podcast. Your support means the world to me. If you think I earned it, please go over to Apple Podcasts and take a quick minute to rate and review me. It helps me and this podcast grow, and I'm really grateful to everyone that's helped me out with that. I'm also grateful for each and every listen, so if there's anybody you guys want to hear on the show, let me know, and I'll see what I can do to get them on. Please feel free to send in any audio or written messages on Anchor, website, or email me directly at achairshot@gmail.com. You can always DM me on Twitter as well, @achairshot. Thank you again, everyone. Be good to each other. Enjoy this awesome hobby, and I look forward to connecting with you all next time, right here on Pulling Up a Chair. Thank you for listening to Pulling Up a Chair with a Chair Shot. If you enjoyed it, please help put the show over by telling a friend and clicking the subscribe button on Anchor, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. You will get instant notifications whenever a new show drops. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at a Chair Shot. That's ACHAIRSHOT. You will want to keep an eye on my socials in the coming weeks. Trust me. Feel free to leave questions or audio comments on the show page on Anchor FM's website or email them to me directly at achairshot@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in again, and until next week, Bobby.
All good things must come to an end, right?
Well, every time changes
everything. And a friend in need is a pest.